that I'm different. Self-motivated, self-disciplined. Yeah, I learned from my experience. I just want someone.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another show from Voice of Man. I'm your host, Terry Mr. King. And I'm back with y'all for my 99th episode of From Boys to Men. Well, actually, I gotta correct it. From Girls to Women. Because I got a special lady on today. Actually, I got a published author on today. And now, she's been helping a lot of people get their stuff together for 2023 and a lot of the rest of their life, a lot of mental health stuff. We're touching on a little bit of everything, what this show is actually all about, because mental health is very important. It's okay not to be okay, but with her help, you'll be on the way to success. But without further ado, let me introduce to you, Miss Capri. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. That was very entertaining. I like it.
Of course, you know, I got a little flavor. I got to add to it because, you know, heavy is the head that holds the crown.
That's right.
And, you know, these people these days, they be trying to knock my crown off, but I ain't going to let them. How you doing today, Miss Capri?
I'm excellent. Like, today, the hair is laid right. Mm. The weather is right. Mm. I have my family with me. Mm. You know, I'm in the presence of a king. Mm.
Mm. So. And she's a queen. if y'all didn't know, in chess, I say this all the time, so y'all should know by now, but if y'all did, no. In chess, the two most important pieces on the chessboard is the king and the queen. The most powerful one is, though, the queen. But, you know, just saying.
Hey, you don't know.
Her daughter was the reason why she was late, y'all. Look, she's her manager, too.
But no.
She's a manager below. She over there giving the evil eyes behind the green screen. Yeah, well, y'all know it's green screen. Yeah, she gave me the evil eyes, but low key, little shout out to the manager for kind of doing her job. She bought me food, so you know.
That's right.
She made that's a way to my heart. She paid me, so I can't even complain no more. But Miss Capri, we gotta go ahead and get a little backstory and everything too. I heard you was in the Navy.
I was in the Navy.
I was too.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh.
So what's up, shipmate?
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, so what's the highest rank you reached?
I retired E6.
Ooh, first class.
Yes. I purposely did not want to get promoted further because what? I was a single mom. And the level of responsibility I would have had to take on it would have caused me some challenges. So. Yeah. But in my mind, I was a warrant officer.
Hey, yeah, because
that's what I wanted to rank up to. I wanted to be a warrant officer.
Yeah. Wait, what was your rank?
CTR.
Ah, you want them people. Yeah. I was an engine man, y'all. I was a snipe, man. We ran the Navy, but we were at the bottom of the boat.
I worked with some engine men.
Yeah, we're cool. We cool people. Yeah. We the best rank in the Navy, my viewpoint. But you know, we ain't privileged with AC, so
right.
But how we act on the ship is very reasonable for our working conditions,
right?
But yeah, so how did you like the military? How did that play a part into everything that you do today?
Because you're just gonna jump right into the middle of it all.
Look, cause I had to realize it took me a long time to realize, like, some of the trauma that you don't even know that you see in the military affects you more when you get out. And it's stuff that you wouldn't even think that would be triggering you. Because I've seen people jump down the stairwells. And I was like, dang.
Suicide?
Try to.
Yeah. Didn't. Yeah.
But like, people are saying like, all right, especially for men,
mm-hmm.
I know we already got the highest suicide rate.
Mm-hmm.
But then the military, it just like magnifies in like more and more.
Yeah.
And I know being a first class, seeing like, you probably seen most of them. I seen, I was only an E3.
Right. Yeah. I think because of the job that I did, I didn't really see a whole lot because that community I worked in was so secluded.
Yeah.
And in private. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's how I pay 13 too. But no, because I know. Mental health is real big when it comes down to military as well, too.
Yes.
And you see a lot of us, I ain't gonna say suffer,
mm-hmm.
but failed to realize the effects that it had on us.
Well, yeah, certainly, because it's not really a humane environment to live in for such an extended period of time. The military is very important for what it's important for, which is protecting this nation, allowing people to have civil liberties. And military people forego their civil liberties and their right to certain freedoms so that civilians can have those freedoms protected. And so we go out on the front lines, much respect to the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, you know, obviously the Navy. I was in the Navy. You know, I wanted to recognize the other services, the Coast Guard, you know, all of these folks, the National Guard. It's a huge disruption to your home life a lot of times, your family life, raising your children, trying to maintain a relationship with your partner. So you really need like a partner who is willing to subjugate their own desires in life so that they can follow the military member around the world. And military members oftentimes have hours that are unheard of.
Yeah.
I remember working something called 222 and 80.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Do you? Man, and I was a single mom. Jasmine was a toddler. And, well, I think I was married at this time, but still, he was really no help. He was struggling, too. Yeah. And for two of the 6 days, so 222 is like... and then 80 hours off.
Yeah.
But you work 2 days. But on that second day, you would come back in at 11 o'clock at night. So you'd work 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. the first day, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. the second day. And then on that second day, you would come back in at 11 p.m. So you'd go home, get home maybe 4 o'clock, you know, whatever. And then come back in 11 to 7, the second day, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., so on that second 7 a.m., you come back in at 3 p.m. and you work till 11 p.m. And then 11 to 3, whatever it is. And then 80 hours off. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how I did it. I don't know how anybody does that, right?
It's so going to get thrown completely off.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, to your point, service members endure so much stress. You know, even from the moment you enter boot camp, you have somebody in your grill, like.
Oh, I remember that. Like, I remember like it was yesterday. Because, like, it's like, as soon as you touch down.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's like, hold up, man.
That's not humane, right? It's not conducive to good mental health.
I felt like I was in jail.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that was worse than jail.
Sure. It was worse than jail, for sure.
That one call. They's like, all right, call them, tell them no year, and you send all this back.
Well, let me rephrase that. It's not that it's worse than jail. It's more intense, I think. Right?
Yeah.
But it's for a purpose.
Yeah.
And that is really important to understand. I don't think when we go in at 18... usually, we don't really understand on that level that this it's all for purpose.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, even though, and I had a very unique experience in the military because I grew up in foster care. So I didn't have parents raising me that were invested in my personal growth. And so no one guided me, no one educated me, no one developed my mind. So when I joined the military, I did it for a survival reason. I was looking for a place to live and to get out of where I was at because I was in a very, a community that wasn't embracing me, let's just say, you know, because I was a northerner.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, okay, I was like, how quickly can you get me out of here? And they were like, in 30 days. I was like, sign me up. I'm gone. And I made sure that I was like, do I have to go on a ship? Because I love the water, but I don't want to live on the water, right? So I really wanted to join the Air Force because I wanted to fly.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a pilot, but I wanted to, you know,
be in the air.
Right. So I asked the guy, I was like, I don't have to go on a ship, right? And he was like, no. So so I was out of there in 30 days and I joined the military, but I had no idea what the military even meant. I had no comprehension, I had no frame of reference, I had no
No clue.
No clue. I had no clue.
Ooh.
So And then I was picked for one of the toughest fields.
I know, I'll say CTR.
I had to learn stuff. My brain was like, I don't think we're supposed to know this kind of thing. Right? So it was, but I'm such a better person for all of the struggles I've ever had in my life. And I was just telling, we were talking, me and my daughter, my nephew, when we were coming up here, about how my brain didn't awaken to consciousness till I was 37 years old. So I lived in survival mode my whole life until I was 37 years old. And so when you're in survival mode, you're experiencing the same thing another person's experiencing called life, right? But I was experiencing it from a survival perspective and a traumatized mind because I endured a lot of abuse growing up and homelessness and all of that kind of thing. Then I joined the military where it's very abusive in nature as far as like people yelling at you and having to get up and go PT at 4 a.m. That feels abusive. feels abusive, right? But it's not like they physically abused me, but mentally, because I didn't have the capacity to consciously understand what I was experiencing, my trauma mind experienced it. So I felt a different experience than the majority of people, I think. It was different for me.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because they do always scream at you. But I'm glad I had a decent chain of command.
Yeah.
My chief was like another father for me. Well, I didn't have my dad growing up. So he was really like my pops. Still talk to him until this day. He come to call me, check on me, make sure everything.
And that's good. One of the benefits of the military, right?
Like my best friends.
Friends and family forever.
Because like my best friend is not someone I grew up with. It's someone I met on that ship.
Mm.
Even though I wasn't even supposed to be on the ship. I was supposed to be on a reserve contract. I'm like, how you know my duty? But we ain't going to talk about that. But, like, man, me and him still talk to this day. It's just like, pick up where he left off.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I remember he was actually on reserve duty. And got put in Mobile for like, I think it was like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was during 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, he said, hey, I'm in Mobile. How far is that from Pensacola? I said like 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
He's like, send me your location. I was like, what? I was like, oh snap. I felt like a kid again. I was like, man, I see my best friend who I haven't seen since I left the military.
Uh-huh.
Man, I was like, it's funny. I got people that grew up with me that I do not consider as close as me and him.
Yeah.
Because we was there for each other when it seemed like everybody else was against us.
Mm-hmm.
I was a skater. I know you know what skating is. Mm-hmm. I was skating. I'm an engineer. He was a QM. So I used to be always up in the quartermaster deck up there trying to hide out, just mm-hmm. get away from all the chaos. And same thing, you know. That's my dog.
I was just telling my daughter, I had a girlfriend in the military, and we were close for like, we were like sisters for 13 years, and somehow we always ended up at the same duty station. So we meet, like, that's one of the benefits of the military, too. Like, you can really develop and evolve in such a unique way after being in the military that your average person
can't,
because they didn't have that experience. Doesn't potentially, not that they can't, but usually they don't. And so, you know, going back to the point of mental health, perspective is your first tool for good mental health. You know, it's really all about your perspective
and how you view everything.
Yeah. Because if I look back on my life and say, you know, my gosh, I was in foster care, I was sexually abused, physically abused, you know, emotionally, financially, I was taunted, I was homeless, and then I went in the military for 20 years and endured all of that stress and pressure. If my perspective is victimized, then my brain releases chemicals to make me feel victimized.
Yeah.
But if my perspective is, how lucky am I? I went through some of the worst stuff you could ever go through, and I'm better off today for it. And now I get to help other people in the world, you know, because I have so much access to experience.
Yeah.
That's good mental health, you know?
I think that's why a lot of my friends come to me or advice. I don't know why. I used to ask last. I was like, man, why are you calling me? It's like, yeah. You don't look at it like, you ain't pointing the finger and trying to blame us or do this. You just like accepting what we're saying. And if you give us a viewpoint or your some advice, it's coming from a neutral standpoint, not trying to say as a friend, nothing. You just giving us the raw facts. Mm. I was like, huh. I said, I should be charging y'all for this session.
Then. Right.
Because one of my friends, he's a therapist. And he always comes to me with his problems. Like, yeah, you get paid for your session. So when you going to start paying me for all right. those sessions? I was like, you can just buy me food. Just make sure you...
Just lunch or something.
No, but like, it's so fun. I find it like, humbling to me because I come to him for my problems too. Like when I like just need to talk to somebody. Like, he was there for me when I like had a bad like panic and anxiety attack. And then vice versa, I'm there for him when they're going through stuff. It's kind of cool to have that person you know you can lean on like friend wise and therapist wise too.
Yeah.
I do got therapist, but I ain't like you know I can't have to.
Right.
I could.
And I did just get TRICARE approved. Which is the military insurance.
Yes. Yeah. Most people don't know that. You know, but hey, TRICARE is the best care. Hold up.
Hey now. TRICARE is the best care. I like that.
I know, but I had to think about it.
Oh. You can say I said it. You said it
because Loki. Well, I can't say nothing because they cover everything. Time I go to the emergency room, they cover living everything. So I can't be mad at TRICARE.
Right.
They take care of me.
TRICARE did me and my family very well. Yeah, I appreciate TRICARE.
Yeah. Thank you, TRICARE. Y'all alright, I guess. Y'all do pay for my therapy session, so. Y'all doing, as a matter of fact, y'all are phenomenal. Y'all are phenomenal. Because, man, without therapy, I don't know where I would, exactly where I'd be. And a lot of people don't know the importance of actually finding somebody to help you change your perspective from them. Survival modes and the trauma mindset, because a lot of us don't even know we're walking around in it.
What you talking about?
And then when you realize it, I think it comes to a point where we have to do a slide of self-reflecting and sit down with ourselves and look ourselves in the mirror, like, hey, I don't know who you are. Like, you need to go find somebody that can help me refine me.
Yeah.
And that's why I love therapists, because they understand. They don't try to push and everything. They try to help you dig and find out the roots of these problems.
Yeah.
So I guess you got to applaud you for that, for being a therapist, because look, I know it comes with a lot of baggage, because they're all just throwing stuff.
Yeah, you know, someone asked, well, they were kind of telling me, and they were like, oh man, it must be so hard on you because you have all these people like sharing their energy with you and stuff like that. But I was talking to somebody just a little while ago about scientific detachment.
Yeah.
And so as therapists, it's almost like, you know, even though I'm physically in front of you, mentally I'm just right above you.
Yeah.
Like, figuratively speaking. Yeah. So that I'm not directly absorbing all of that in session. I'm not directly absorbing all of that into my heart center.
Yeah.
You know, so objectively, I'm just like above myself. And it's a different experience. And I think that's why therapists can do what they do, because we're not, we're hearing it differently. Yeah. You know?
They more on the observant area versus the empathetic area.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
us empathetic people, we just take it on.
Well, we're still, we lead with empathy.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you, I think it's just like an intellectual listening. You know what I mean? You're listening for patterns and keywords and substance and just being present, you know, just really being heart-centered and present, but not receiving it all, because it's just too overwhelming. But certainly, I remember I had a client, and her son committed suicide. And she wanted me to be her therapist. And I'm trying to recollect how it happened. But she came to me. I think she found me. A lot of my clients want to work with me because of the vast experience I've had in life. And she was one of them. And I did a YouTube about it. You know, about how unqualified I felt being her therapist.
Yeah.
because that's one thing I haven't experienced, and God forbid. But she just appreciated so much that I was able to empathetically be with her as she was talking about that. You know, I think he overdosed or something like that. But, you know, when a parent loses a child, that's a very unique situation.
That's the last thing we want to actually have happen. Because I know in the mindset, it's like they supposed to be burying me, not me burying my kids.
Yeah.
Like, I got kids now. So it's like, I'm already not planning for, it's kind of weird, but I don't think it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I already got everything written out that need to be written out.
Right.
So if they ever any questions, boom, boom, boom. And I already told them, man, they better not bury me. I told them, cremate me, throw my ashes wherever y'all want to throw my ashes. Go on
my job.
Because look, I was like, my journey's ending. Y'all's beginning.
That's what I told my daughter. I'm like, listen, cremate me, put on some music, celebrate.
Have a party. Because I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
I would like to think I was like a party for the majority of my life. So look, might as well go out with a bang. Hey. Take shots of tequila, whatever y'all need to do. I don't mess with tequila, though. But do what you got to do, because, like, I already know that's where everybody's heading anyway.
Yeah. And that's such a great point in relation to good mental health.
Yeah.
You know, death is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right? And, again, it just goes back to perspective.
Yeah.
If you understand life in a manner where it just unfolds, and there's a beginning to everything in creation, right? So here's what I found. To really understand this third dimensional reality that we live in, you have to understand it from a fifth dimensional spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
And here's where the enemy, negativity, the devil, whatever we want to call it, are getting in our own way, causes so many people a problem, because they have a problem with spirituality.
Yeah.
So a good number of people can't even evolve beyond themselves in their current state to understand how to deal with this materialistic physical life in a better way that's less traumatizing and more conscious. If they have a challenge really talking about, identifying, defining, relating to spirituality. Because, as Dr. Joe Dispenza would say, you're matter trying to change matter.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, that's a very difficult, that's probably the more difficult approach, as opposed to trying to interpret and process life from a spiritual perspective, like with death, for instance. If someone's family member dies, like, obviously we're human, right? We still understand we're human beings, but we're not just human beings. We also have a spiritual element to our identity. So if I'm dealing with the death of a loved one as a human being, now I'm trying to process matter. I'm matter trying to process this experience in matter called death from a human perspective. And because our brain is made of subconscious and consciousness, and our subconscious mind is approximately 95% of how our brain operates and how our personality shows up. Now I'm trying to process this situation called death predominantly. It's happening whether I know it or not, but it's coming from my subconscious programming.
Yeah.
So if I have a frame of reference that doesn't advance my understanding so I can move through the passing of a loved one, if I have an association in my subconscious of death being bad, right? Let's say, like, for me, my mom died when I was 13 to a gunshot wound of the head. When I was 13, experiencing that, I'm experiencing that from my subconscious emotional mind.
Yeah.
So then that creates a memory and a frame of reference for future experiences that are similar to that.
Yeah.
So I'm toast,
yeah.
Right? If I'm experiencing 10 years later a death, I may be coming from that experience because my brain's associating the two as similar events. Yeah. So we have to get beyond our subconscious mind and go into consciousness and then go beyond consciousness, which is a spiritual understanding that there's a beginning to everything in life, there's a lifespan to everything, and then there's a transition. Yeah. We humans call it death, but in the spiritual language, it's a transition, you know, because we're all energy. Yeah. And energy can't be created or destroyed.
And it's just a rebirth.
That's it.
It's a rebirth.
That's it.
Like most people just look at it as that's the end, the transition, but no, it's a rebirth coming in after the transition.
Yeah. And that perspective now can help someone who's matter process matter from a higher consciousness, right? Understanding the lifespan and that it's not a bad experience. It's just, we're human, so we have feelings. That's part of our makeup. So it's going to be sad. We're going to be sad. But there are people in the world who are so attached, right, to whatever it is. Could be their pet, their person. And it's very understandable. Yeah. That's how we're made biologically as social beings with... you know, if our subconscious is 95% of how we show up, in our subconscious is our emotional mind.
Yeah.
Right? It's the limbic system. So obviously as humans, we're going to be emotional.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is you got to learn how to supersede that.
And control it.
And, yeah.
And find a balance.
Yeah.
Because like my sister last year, we almost lost her dog.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was connected to the thing, though.
The dog will get you.
Look. And that's the thing about it. My son was sick at the same time, too.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, he's going to be all right. The dog was like really, I thought he was about to die.
Yeah.
I couldn't even go in the house.
Yeah.
I was like, every time I go in there, I'm choking up.
Yeah.
I couldn't even look at the dog. Man, I'm over here crying. And I was like, man, how did I get emotionally attached to this? At first, I was like, man, through the times from when the dog first met, I used to be one of the kids, man, back up, dog, everything, boom. To now, like, the dog is like...
your best friend.
Like a nephew. Yeah.
It's true. When I lost my dog, I was depressed for like 3 weeks.
Honestly, I realized if something happened to the dog, you know, he's 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
So he's getting up there. Something happened to him, man, I didn't even know how to properly...
You allow it.
I allow it.
You allow it. Because we have to, because that's a good point, too. A lot of people don't allow themselves to feel what they need to feel. So all that stuff, you know, is pushed down, as they say.
Choke it down.
Yeah. And then someone flicks you off on the road and you react to that. And it's like all of that stuff comes out and it's misdirected pain.
It's something about,
So it's really important people allow themselves to feel what they feel, but just don't stay there. And that's why you got to believe in something beyond this moment of pain, which for me is spirituality. And for me, spirituality is just like, it's the non-physical world, right? We have a physical world that, you know,
we
perceive it to be physical.
Yeah.
And then there's the non-physical. There's spirit. There's energy. There's thoughts. There's the things that are not
visible.
Physical. Visible. Yeah. Physically visible.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. See, this sounds like my regular therapist session. Look, the growth that I know I had, and I know a lot of other people have from therapists, from therapy and going to therapists like you and like a lot of the other therapists out here, is such reassuring that everything happens is going to be all right. That happened to you is going to be all right. It's just a building block. It's just a tool you can use later on in life to help somebody else and to help yourself. Like my therapist always tells me, like, add to your toolbox.
Right.
Because it's something you can pull from. Because, like, first, like, dealing with certain situations, it'll just give me shook.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's shaking me now. I get my 5 minutes to set it for what it is, and then after that, all right, keep on moving, keep on pushing. And,
right.
I appreciate y'all therapists.
Oh, thank you.
Because what y'all do is not easy, but it is needed.
Right. You know, that's such a great point, because a lot of what people need it's just someone to listen to.
Yes.
You know, even me. Yeah. I was just telling my nephew, like, I like to talk about the brain. I like to talk about, you know, and I want to talk to people who can evolve my mind. Let me, you know, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room, right? I want to be closer to the one that does that knows the least so that I can learn from other people. I like it's like
I play the fool all the time. That's why I clown around. Like I clown around so they look over me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, he ain't nothing serious.
Right.
I know me playing a fool. I'm just up in there, just gaining knowledge from them, just fooling from them. I'm just like, yes, give me more.
Yeah,
and then
after
that, it's just
I feel like it's like a learning. Every opportunity is an opportunity to learn something.
That's good mental health perspective. See, if we have the right perspective, we got half our mental health down.
See, but a therapist just told me I'm doing right. Told you, mama. Mama don't believe me, but proved her wrong.
Right.
No, and I think through therapy, like my mom and like a lot of my family now are willing to actually like go to therapy.
Yeah. I'm so glad that more people are talking about it. I love therapy. When I was 10 years old, I had a therapist, and I felt safe. She had a door, and she closed the door, and I felt safe because I was in foster care at the time. And so I didn't have my own room. I didn't have privacy. You can't shut your bedroom door in foster care usually, you know, or you're sharing it with other people, other kids or whatever. So when she shut that door and I felt safe, I knew instantaneously that this was what I was going to do for my future.
Oh, see, look, connecting the dots.
Yeah.
See, my sister, she got my oldest sister. All right, because she had to go to therapy back in the day because she used to beat me up and abuse me. and she said, I'm not going to lie, I did start a lot.
You
did.
I'm also psychic.
Yeah, I take my accountability. I did a lot of stuff to antagonize her.
Mm-hmm.
My mom made her go to therapy, so she still got a bad taste about it because she had to go do something because she was defending herself, I guess. Even though she beat me up. She was like Mike Tyson. I was like Floyd Mayweather. That's not even a fair fight. She was a whoop my tail.
Uh-huh.
But, like...
Wait, isn't Floyd pretty good?
Yeah, but look at the fight class. If Mike Tyson were to fight Floyd Mayweather...
It would be too
All I got to do, Mike Tyson just got hit one time.
What, 1992 Mike Tyson? Or,
yeah, like,
or 2000?
Like, the one that came out to Hail Mary.
Okay.
Come with me. yeah. Yes, yeah. She caused me a lot of pain.
Y'all get along now?
Funny thing about it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, because, all right, I feel like me and her relationship had evolved, because she's my older sister.
Mm-hmm.
She got me about 2 years. She couldn't stand me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, she tried to... My mom told me all the time, when she brought me home, she told me to take him back.
What? She, your sister said
that? She told me to take me back. But, like, she's not the person that would be verbal and affectionate and say out front that she loves or cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm able to read her, and I know that she does. She is never going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But she opened up a lot more now. And I'm more accountable for my actions, too. So I'm like... It's more easy for me and her to have conversations. And, every now and then she give me a hug.
Well, y'all could always come to, like, sibling therapy. I'll be happy to help you.
There's a third one.
Oh,
there's 10 years younger than us. Well, 10 years younger than me. Who,
10 years younger than you.
Yeah.
Mm.
So she's actually in Tampa right now. Love her.
Does she have great eyebrows like you?
Nah.
You got good eyebrows.
You know,
yeah.
I'm the one that got the magic. They don't know about all that. and the funny thing about it, she's like a mixture of both of us. Me and my
what?
She's a mixture of both me and my older sister.
Oh, okay.
And by me and my older sister, we're like oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mix.
Really?
So by that being in the one person body,
mm-hmm.
I feel so bad for her. I was like, Lord. Give her the script.
That's interesting. Yeah. And it's kind of weird to me that siblings can be so different.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we experienced the same thing. Well, we went through the same thing, but we experienced it completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Why do you think that is?
Oh, it's from where we're at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though she's the oldest, I had learned this
I think it was like last month, the way people see, like, especially siblings, because at that time I was a baby. So if I'm looking at things from the baby perspective, I'm like, oh yeah. But she's looking for the older sibling perspective, like, she got a responsibility, like, she can't mess up, because she messed up, she's in control, like, she's in charge.
Yeah.
Then when I got to the middle child perspective, I felt like I was neglected and, like, excluded. And she's still like, nah, I'm the first. Like, my sister is more, my older sister was like, I'm not going to say my mom without a mom, but she was more of a mother to me. I felt like she's more of a mom, my mom.
Right. Because, then for your sister?
No, she for my sister too. Oh, okay. We both say, yeah, you was more like a mom. Because, like, I always wanted her approval.
Okay.
I ain't care about nobody else approval but my sister, my older sister. She was just acknowledging me and did.
Oh, you're saying your sister is more like your mom.
Yeah, she's more like my mom.
Okay, gotcha.
She's like my mother figure.
Yeah. Which is really interesting because that messes people up too.
Yeah. Cause like now, like, instead of my sister being with my sister and my mom being with my mom at, now I'm like, my therapist says like something incest, something. I forgot what she called it. Mm. But like, mostly
so I don't think it's anything to do with incest.
They're like that,
It's more like she was parentified, maybe.
Yeah. And she always, like, I know she had it hard because she's the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Responsible, like, she's the first to do it.
Yeah.
She was paving the path.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, what happens is that the first child gets the parent who isn't ready to be a parent sometimes, right? And because they're young.
Yeah.
It's a young mother. Yeah. And depending on how that person was raised and what they were exposed to and how many resources they have and how much emotional support they have, like, being a young mother is a tough gig. And you don't know what you don't know. Right, and so until you get exposed to higher functioning people who are good mothers, or like, even for me, I was a mom at 21, and I had, like, instinctually, I think I knew I needed to be a good provider, and I was good with that. But being a good mother is totally different, and being a good father is something separate than being just a good provider.
Oh, yeah, because, like, my mom, like, she was a provider.
Mm-hmm.
Single mom, took care of all of us.
Yeah.
And I look at it, and I appreciate her for it, because, like, me and my sister, my younger sister, we had to tell her, like, yo, you never were, like, emotionally with us, like, attached.
Like,
I didn't have that, like, I'm like, I don't know who you are as a person, because we don't have these conversations. My little sister and them, she got my mom, the best version of my mom.
Right.
I got the tatted ass up version. And, like, I look at it, I was like, we all had different versions of you.
Right.
I'm like, and I can't knock you for it, because, like, you're trying to be my father and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot on your plate, and you didn't question nothing. I was like, I always appreciate you for it. But I say, like, that emotional connection, like, they say mothers have for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I tell, like, yeah, I don't know if we actually had that. Like, we developing it now.
That's a great point. Even if you didn't have it growing up, you can still develop it.
Yes.
Because you got to give people a break, even your parents. Like,
they're just doing the best they could.
You know, if I look at my parents, my father and my mother, and they, you know, they just come from whatever background they came from. Yeah. But until I understood and had compassion for their upbringing and how their parents raised them and what they were exposed to, If I didn't have compassion when I was reviewing all that, I would have never moved beyond wondering why they abandoned me. My narrative would have been, I was abandoned.
Yeah.
But now that I understand their struggle, my narrative is, they were just doing all they knew to do.
Yeah.
So I don't have to take it personally. And that's so important. If people just stop being offended, even by their parents and their upbringing, and, you know, it just was whatever, you know, within range, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, everybody's got a different experience. But generally speaking, if you can lead with empathy instead of offense or pain, which is partly a conscious decision, but it's also partly emotional maturity, and it's also partly some other things, right? So But that's the goal.
Yeah.
To that, and I think that's why they say love conquers all.
Yeah.
Because if I look at something that destroyed me at one point in my life with offense, anger, pain, these lower functioning emotions, I'm going to have one narrative, and it's not going to help me evolve and heal in life. But if I lead with love and say, yes, they totally screwed up parenting. Like they got a big fat F plus as my parents. But I feel compassion for them because they didn't have the right support in life. Then now my narrative is different.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's not my parents abandoned me. It's like, man, they did all they knew to do, and I'm sorry their life sucked. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now I feel bad for them.
Yeah, I know that for sure. Because, like, my grandparents helped out a lot. And, like, they was another second set of parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know my mom, she did the best she could. And she did a lot. Like, I look at everything we did, like, family vacations. Yeah. Always had everything we wanted. I was like, dang, we did have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her all the time, I appreciate her for it. But, like, now it's, like, to a point where I open up these conversations to it. Now we're getting, like, I was like, hey, I'm not coming to you, like, trying to knock you or nothing. I just want more understanding.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming from a point of understanding. It's like, all right, I just want to understand this. Because, like, now I got kids. And I'm like, my son got, like you said, he's the first. So he get the version of me that.
Right.
I wasn't ready. And, like, the first kid always is the one that stick with you. That's a ride or die kid. Like, I feel like this. Like,
Jasmine, you're my ride or die.
That's the ride or die kid. Like, they're going to be with you till the day, till the wheel fall.
Yeah.
Like, I know I've been hard on him. Because I look at him, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're me. I was like, what did I need back then?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I had this part, but now I need this. And it's funny, laughing at my mom, too.
Yeah.
Because when a parent becomes a grandparent, oh, you be, oh, I'll be ready to be like.
Are you meeting two different people?
Yeah. I was like, oh, really? Oh, I can't do that to him? Do you not remember what you did to me?
Right.
And then, don't touch him. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I see why I used to always run to my great-grandma. She protected me from everything.
But that's a good
and I was
point.
The baby, and I was the baby too, so
yeah.
Look, I can, it's like I can see what levels now.
Yeah. If you have you have more resources, yeah. People in your family.
Yeah.
So, you know, that helps to even out the experience. Because the child, so many children go through traumatizing experiences.
That,
you know, even though it's not like intentional abuse or whatever, it's just people struggling
yeah.
in this life. Like I'm concerned. Like, you know.
Yeah, especially the generation that's out right now. I don't know what's going on these 20 or these teenagers to the 20-year-olds.
But even like keeping it real, like I'm older now. Yeah. You know what I mean? And educated and earning my own income, and I have a vision for my future. You know what I mean? Like I'm together, right?
Got it.
Compared to who I used to be.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, I still have my own struggles.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, if I'm sure, like, my pipes just bursted. My furnace just died all in 1 week, just this past week. You know, all these things, and I'm able to handle it emotionally.
Yeah.
But I think about people who are really suffering in life.
Yeah.
Because I remember people like my grandmother. My grandmother, she lived in, like, what became a condemned home.
Yeah.
She was in like a row home, right? She was very, very poor. And I remember times we had no electricity. She would send me to the neighbor's house because she didn't want me to freeze to death, you know? And I just don't understand. It's like so sad. Like, I know the struggles I'm having in life,
yeah.
Even being together as much as I am. And it's all by the grace of God.
Oh, yes.
It's not by me.
Oh, yes.
Like, anything I've ever accomplished, achieved, anything that I have in life, any sense that I have, is all a gift of God. Because once upon a time, I didn't have that mind.
Yeah.
My mind worked very differently. So I think about people struggling, like my grandmother, and I'm like, how?
How did you do it?
How? Like, how, Craig? Like, how? It just is...
Tell them by police.
So people were experiencing trauma and traumatized experiences because trauma's
yeah.
It's what's the right word? It's individual. Yeah. It's individualized. Like, you and I could have the same experience. I get traumatized. You don't, because it's my individual perspective. And that's really important for people to understand. Your own perspective determines your reality. So I'm concerned about people in this world. And if you don't have the right perspective, you know, you could have all the money in the world. Like, I think I read that the original founder of Victoria's Secret, you know, he had, like, divorce issues and business challenges, finances, but he jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and killed himself because he couldn't handle, well, to my understanding, I don't know really what was going on, but if you don't have the right perspective, how do you survive in this world? You know, because he had all the money, he didn't have all the money in the world, but he had the potential to make all the money in the world, you know, figuratively speaking. And then you have people that come from nothing. And the most fascinating thing is the people that come from nothing can evolve into the most wise people. And the people that have everything given to them can jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not about finances or resources and things like that. It's about perspective.
Yeah.
And it's about spirituality. What are you pulling your wisdom from? Because if it's from your subconscious emotional mind,
that place is a dark place.
It is over, right?
Yeah.
So this is what we talk about in Activate 2023, you know, creating that vision for your future and really creating the right perspective and really understanding your sense of purpose in life. Because if you want good mental health, it's got to go beyond this issue you have in life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got to go into, what am I actually here for? Because if I look at my problems, I'm problem focused.
Purpose focused.
Yeah,
you gotta be
purpose focused, you gotta be solution focused.
Yeah.
That's when my mind really shifted.
Yeah.
I learned to become solution focused. And I have this affirmation I live by.
We gotta hear it.
It's like life altering.
Okay. I'm trying to say it with you.
I'm gonna tell you when I tell my clients, a lot of my clients, they say, "Oh, that's gonna be hard. I don't know if I can do that." And I'm like,
"Hey, I ain't
interesting perspective.
I'm not scared of a challenge. I am a challenge accepting person. I hear it. I believe. Let's speak.
Okay. It says I will, and I don't know where I came up with it. I don't know if somebody else. If I owe someone credit for this, then please know it's yours. I don't think I came up with this, but maybe I did. But it's, I will only think the thoughts. And say the words. Of what I want. Coming to fruition. I am a beast. No, no, that's not part of the thing.
Oh. I am a beast in the gym, y'all. I'm trying to be like Brock Lesnar one day.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
The beast incarnate.
Yes, we could add another.
Yeah, add another layer to it.
A beast.
That's not hard to do. It's just like you just really got to really think about the words you say and speak what you want and everything.
Yeah.
So is that really what this book is about?
Maximize your superpowers.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Maximizing the superpowers.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I already know I'm a superhero. I just don't tell everybody.
Right.
But you know, y'all ain't seen me and a lot of your superheroes in the same place because I am.
But that's how you gotta think, right?
Because
if I see myself as a foster child, if I see myself as an abused woman, if I see myself as whatever people are struggling with, right? Then that's the identity we carry. But if I see myself as a superhero, which essentially, you know, to some degree I do. I see myself as a regular person that God created that has a unique purpose in life, right? And that purpose is to help heal people, right? I'm not the healer, but I can guide you and I can teach you what to do to heal yourself. And actually, I am the healer in a way. Because we're energy beings and I've helped to heal people energetically. So, Maximize Your Superpowers really kind of came to me. I was working in Okinawa And it was when I was 20 years old, I remember saying I was in the Navy and I was in Guam, and I had a girlfriend who, just a friend, and she just came from Okinawa. She was telling me about it, and I was like, one day I'm going to go to Okinawa. I can't wait. And 25 years later, like when I was 45, yeah. 46, I went to Okinawa. And I had company paid for a condo, 3-bedroom, right on the East China Sea. And it was such an open space, and it was just like God planted me right there. And he was like, this is your opportunity. I'm going to kind of evolve you. And that book came out of that year that I was in Okinawa. Oh. Yeah. So now I understand when people say with the Bible, that the Bible was God inspired or whatever through the authors.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Once upon a time, I was like, that's wacko. What are they talking about? But that book didn't come really from, most of that book didn't come from my conscious mind. It was just, I sat down, I just started writing. And then one day I was like, what am I writing all this stuff about? And it was about really coming into consciousness. So that's one of the most important principles, that if people can come into consciousness and really start recognizing the limitations of their own
mind.
Yeah. And understanding that if you connect your natural abilities, right, like your awareness, your voice, I don't know. Tell me, read one of the table of contents. It's the superpower of your awareness, the superpower of clarity, superpower of your voice.
Oh, yeah, intention, choice, voice, refusing to fail.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Modeling your life to your will, taking complete control or complete and total personal responsibility, giving yourself permission, solving problems. Yeah, I'm going to be reading this book a little bit, a lot.
Yeah.
Not a little bit, but.
And these are all natural abilities everybody has. You just gotta, like it said, the power of intention. You just gotta connect it to an intention, and that, like an intention that's going to evolve something else beyond yourself, you know?
I'm gonna tell you something funny right now. Because y'all had it bookmarked on a page.
I did?
Yeah, and it was on self-reflect.
It wasn't purposeful.
No, but look, it was, because it's on self-reflect.
Uh-huh.
The episode I just got done on recruiting before y'all came in here was about self-reflect.
So, it's about self-reflection?
Yeah, so I was like, like I said, I don't believe in coincidences. Because things, like I said, we're energy beings, so.
Yeah.
It's just letting me know that the path I am on is the right path. Because what are the odds that I was just talking about self-reflection on another episode, just to turn around and open a book and it's on self-reflect.
What does it say? I'm interested.
It says self-reflect. Take a few moments to analyze the choices you have made in your own life over the years. That's exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And from our choices from childhood to now, it's all, I like, this is my saying. We made all the right choices to be right where we're at right now.
Mm.
It's not a bad spot that we're at. Yeah, we could have made different choices and we would have been somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that version of us is living in a different universe or whatever. But for right now, we're in the right place where we need to be.
Yeah.
So the choices we made led us here.
Yeah. So I like where you're going with that. What time is it?
1:15.
Because she has an appointment to go.
So, that's okay, but I want to, can I speak on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you just said, you know, that version, you know, had we made other choices, that version of us is like living on another universe or something like that. So it's really important that people understand that whatever version you want to become is possible.
Yeah.
It just requires conscious awareness and belief in that. So any version of you that you can think of actually already exists
somewhere else
in the fifth dimension, right? It's just a different dimension of you. So for me, I decided I wanted to become a public speaker. So I had to evolve into that dimension of myself. Once upon a time, I wasn't a public speaker. And now I'm speaking in front of 400 people in audiences, and my vision is stadiums. So it's just evolution.
I'm telling you, look. You okay? No, because...
Is that good stuff, Tom? You got you choked up?
No, because look, this is so funny, because... My vision board I first made was for me to be a public speaker. I just never figured out how to start doing it, right?
Yeah.
And that's it's actually on my bucket list I wrote. I went back and seen, I found my bucket list randomly last month. I realized I checked out basically everything on it, but that one. And then I was like, huh. Self-reflecting, that's a goal that I haven't achieved yet. It ain't no coincidence, y'all. I'm just leaving like that.
We bring it into consciousness right now.
Yeah.
Right? Bring it into consciousness.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be holding live events and virtual live events this year. So I'll invite you to be a speaker at my event.
Dreams that came true. Everything's aligning.
Yeah.
So, I gotta get my my fifth dimension of myself is coming through. I ain't got nothing. Miss Capri.
Yeah.
All right, I know you have to go, so I'm gonna go ahead and get close to closing it. But before I use the close of my episodes, I like for y'all to give them a piece of wisdom, a piece of knowledge that you feel like will help them, that helped you.
Mm-hmm.
Over, we look back over our life, something that you've, like, somebody in these predicaments where they feel like they ain't got nowhere else to go, and they're on survival mode, like, a piece of advice that, to encourage them. So
you want the street version, or you want, like, the educated version?
I trust your intuition. I trust your energy to... It's going to touch them either way.
Yeah. So, I think fundamentally, you know, fundamentally it depends on, so this is a tough question to answer, quite frankly. But, fundamentally, I think you have to believe in something beyond what you are perceiving is your current experience, right?
Yeah.
That, especially if you're younger, when we're younger, we're at the mercy of our environment. We don't have money. We don't have freedom. We don't have a car. We can't drive. We're young. We're kids. We don't, you know, and so the power of your imagination is what can save you when you don't have a different way to save yourself. Right? So that's fundamental, because that's all you got.
Yeah.
You may not have friends. You may not have anything else as a child or even adult.
Yeah.
You may feel like you don't have anything. You may feel hopeless. And like I struggle with learned helplessness as a byproduct of my upbringing. And I have to consciously fight that. Right? It's in my imagination. It's in my mind. So if you can create a beautiful vision, and this is what I teach in Activate 2023, for this specific reason, that we have to start with a vision, and it's got to be beyond, right? And so understanding that you have this vision and you have a unique purpose in life, just like everybody has a unique thumbprint, we have an element of genius within ourselves. And our job on this earth is to do the work that we need to do and self-reflection, mental health, all these kinds of self-discovery and evolutionary type of processes to figure out what is this special purpose that's on my life, because this is why I was created. So if you can use that language, I need to find my purpose and create a vision for that And it doesn't have to be the right purpose. It doesn't have to be the one purpose. It can be a purpose. You can make it up, right? And begin to see beyond your current limitations into that vision. You don't have to know how it's going to happen. You're not going to know how it's going to happen, probably. And you don't have to know when it's going to happen. But you have to believe that I refuse to fail, right? Chapter 14, I think. I refuse to fail. I refuse to die before this vision comes to fruition because I understand that I am a creator. So people need to understand that they are a creator. Is it 14?
I think so.
They have to understand that they're a creator. Beginning to see yourself in a manner that helps you evolve into that vision and forget about what your teachers tell you you are, forget about what your parents, forget about what you think you are. You begin to see yourself as the person, the superhero, like we were talking about, right? If you got to borrow the confidence of Iron Man or whomever, you know, borrow that confidence and begin to see yourself as the entity, the energy, right? Beyond what you see in the mirror, that on a spiritual level that you have it in you to make that vision come to fruition. And the vision can come from your mind, but it really should come, it should unfold and be revealed. Like, we don't have to work hard to figure out what a purpose is for our life. We can just be present with ourselves. And the more present we are, the more aware we are of what we want. We know we don't want this BS, whatever is in our physical experience, but what do I want? Oh, for me, I knew I wanted to live by the ocean.
Yeah.
I always knew that. That was my North Star. I didn't know anything else, but I knew I wanted to live by the ocean, right? And so that vision pulled me into my future. And I think it actually influenced all my duty stations because I was very uniquely, I was stationed at in Guam. Yeah. I was stationed in Puerto Rico. I was stationed in Hawaii.
I was too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in Port Royal, CG-73.
So vision, purpose, belief, and stop begging people to love you. Stop begging people to like you.
Oh, Lord, she hit me.
Like, that's it. Just, we got to get out of that lane because that lane is going to keep tripping you up.
Yeah.
You have to see yourself as the deal maker and not the deal taker. Mm. You have to see yourself as... I'm a quality being, even though I don't feel like one yet. I'm a quality being, and life is going to unfold and evolve me to become that version of me. It's inside of you. It's inside of you. It's inside of me, right? This other version, the version of me that's going to speak on stages of stadiums and hundreds of thousands, or not hundreds, but tens of thousands. Who knows? God only knows, right? But that's what's being revealed to me because I sit with myself and I say, what's unfolding? I don't have to think it up myself. Yeah. I see signs and things that resonate with my energy, and then I have to know that I'm the quality being already inside, and just in the third dimension, I'm going to evolve into that person. So that's what, you know, in part, I would say. And then refuse to fail. You got to refuse to fail. You got to refuse to quit. You got to refuse to die. I refuse to die. I refuse to quit. And I refuse to fail. Like, this life will not take me out until I've completed my mission, my vision. And that's what I teach in Activate 2023.
Whew. Y'all make sure y'all come to Activate
2023,
man. God. That's right. Hey, I got goosebumps right now. And not because Jasmine turned on the AC, her manager. Oh, matter of fact, my bad. I mean, she used to close the window because it get too cold.
Shout out to my manager.
Shout out to her manager slash daughter. Oh. She, hey, it's like the verse, not the momager. She got the daughterger.
Right, she's the
daughterger. The daughterger. Man, Ms. Capri, thank you for coming on this episode. Oh, from girls to men. From girls to women, y'all. On from boys to men. But man, like I always do, or always say before I leave, dream big dreams, because small dreams have a little magic. Mm-hmm. And how big would you dream if you know you couldn't fail?
Them I've been laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
And last but not least, y'all remember this. Y'all do y'all best and let God take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. I love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. Peace, love, happiness, and we are out.
Bye. I know that I'm different. Self-motivated, self-disciplined, yeah. I learned from my experience. I just want someone to take me serious. Real questions that I ask. How long will this solo trip last? I'm content with being alone in the past. But it's changing and it's something I can't grasp. Turn off my phone, I'm in my zone, so now I'm acting different. I'm to myself, I'm in my head, mapping out this life I'm living. Shadow work on myself, I done already seen hell. Can't fit in, so I rebel, but I don't miss a beat.
I don't miss a beat.
Oh, no.